Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Clint Locklear, with Man Strong Podcast. And I have spent a lot of time, it seems, recently around more people than I normally do. We've got a wedding coming up here in a while, so we had to go clothes shopping. We've been actually looking at some boats, possibly, if we can find the right deal. We've had some people coming over to work on some trees. And, you know, being at the gym when I go a couple times a week to a commercial gym. And I've just noticed something and a couple of things that I think men should be aware of. I think it's a virtue not to talk so much. And I think that even if you're dating or you're doing business, especially in business, if you're, you know, married with a partner, you're having conversations, instead of just letting whatever comes in your head come out your mouth, think about it just a little bit. See, the interesting thing is most people that know me know that I don't talk a whole lot. The more that I get to know somebody, you know, the more that I feel comfortable talking. I'm kind of well known in our, you know, trapping industry, but it's not the most comfortable thing for me. I can be by myself and be just fine. But when I get around other people, part of the reason that I don't talk as much is because I'm trying to figure people out. I'm trying to figure out if they're full of crap. I'm trying to figure out if they're just, you know, busting lies, if they're a braggart, or they have good values. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, you know, and I'm listening to what they're saying. And listening is very different than just listening. Like what I've noticed with a lot of people, if you have a concern, like with the tree people, we don't want our yard tore up. We've got a couple of chestnut trees on the way to where we have some chairs out on the lake. And in the fall, they drop all of those husks, and we have nieces and nephews comes over, and invariably there's crying and anguish because it's going through their tennis shoes, or they fall, it gets in their hands and stuff like that. And I like chestnut trees to feed deer, but since my wife won't let me shoot any from the yard, it's not doing me a whole lot of good, but they're causing a lot of problems. So we have this guy come down and we're talking, and when you have concerns and you're listening to what he's saying, and then all of a sudden you say your concerns, the millisecond that you quit speaking, he's coming back with something else. Now, see, from someone that's done negotiations in business and things like that, I know they're not listening to me. They're either trying to impress me, or they're trying to get the conversation to go the way that they want it to, or they're trying to show their expertise or whatever it is, and it's just rambling. And a lot of times it's bragging, it's trying to one-up the other person, which is very common, and everything's like that. And that makes me very aware of who I'm dealing with. So, the reason I'm saying this, if you learn to actually listen to people without your brain rushing to come up with a response as soon as they're done, or if it's a bunch of guys, especially trying to always outdo the other one with a bigger, wilder, crazier story, you'll be amazed what you actually hear if you will just listen to people. Before we get into this more, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're out of Iowa. Alan's a good friend of mine. He's the one that actually handles my shipping, so I do personal business with him. He's got a full line of trapping supply stuff. He's got all kind of predator calling stuff. He's got lures and baits and fishing lures and fishing baits and stuff for hogs and deer, and just a great company. But more than that, you're dealing with really good people. And if you're looking for any outdoor supplies, when it comes to stuff like that, you really need to give Funky Trap Tags and Supplies a shot, because that's the people you want to do business with. Now, another reason that I think men should learn to shut their mouth a little bit more is because you can observe. If your brain is in response mode really quick, you're not observing, you're thinking about what you're saying. And there's two downfalls from this, the way that I see it. One, you're not going to truly hear what the other person is saying. And if you're in business, that can get you in trouble, because you're making a whole lot of assumptions because you're actually ignoring what they're saying a lot of times. Because in business, people have concerns that most salesmen try to blow over just to get the sale. And that's where a lot of the hard feelings and bad reviews and all that stuff comes from. And if someone comes up with a concern, ask a question. Don't tell a statement, ask a question. Why does that seem like that bothers you so much? What would that cause? Has something like this happened in the past, and so you're being very cautious about it this time? And when they respond, ask another question. See, I may be talking when I ask them what the issue is, but I'm trying to actually figure out what the issue is. Because a lot of times people are not honest enough with themselves to tell you actually what the issue is. You've got to dig that out. So one, you can keep a good relationship. And two, you can keep a good business partnership with somebody. And when it comes to your wife or girlfriend, this is where, if you're in a conversation, you should be very cautious about what you say. Especially if it's she gets done and you automatically go into something. So, it took me about 20 years to figure this out with my wife. And I've talked to other people that's been married a long time, and we've all kind of came to the same conclusion. A lot of times women are not looking for you to fix a problem. They're looking for you to listen to them, ask them questions about it, have some empathy, and let them work this out and talk it out. Emotionally, that's very helpful to a woman. That is not how men work. That is not how men think. You give us a problem, we're going to try to fix it. So, me and Cindy's comfortable enough now, so when something like that comes up, I will just straight ask her, do you want me to help you find a solution, or do you just want to kind of talk this out and see where it leads? See, I'm not doing it in a demeaning way of any kind. I just need to know where we're going. If it's to fix a problem, I'll try to come up with a solution. If it's she needs to talk it out, because most times she'll come up with her own solution when she does that, and it may be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 2 days. She's looking for a sounding board. And the more you let her do that, the better your relationship's going to be. And I don't think a lot of guys understand when they start popping off solutions one after the other. It makes you sound arrogant, and it makes you sound like a braggart. And that's not healthy in any relationship whatsoever. The other thing is, what I've learned over years, and I started picking up on this really hard in the military, was if you don't talk as much, I had this old guy tell me one time, if you don't talk as much, you know everything that you know, and now you know everything that they know, so you're actually smarter on the subject than they are. And that's one way to look at it. See, leaders, which men should be, are not trying to just impress for impression's sake. They're trying to figure out what is the best way to lead. And a lot of times the best way to lead before any decision is made is you have to truly understand where somebody's coming from. Because we all have baggage, guys. We've all had girlfriends, wives, could be ex-wives, it could be several ex-wives. It could be business partners. It could be people at work. It could be something at high school. And something's going on. And whenever that happens, you automatically go back to what you've learned from whatever that baggage is. And a lot of times you don't really say what you're nervous of or scared of or what your concern is. You try to do it, you use a different language than that, especially guys. And all of a sudden, what you're trying to work out, you're not even saying so the other person doesn't know it. But if you're being what I consider a strong leadership type male, one, you look them in the eyes and you actually listen to what they say and you do your best to shut off your own brain. And you watch them. What is their body language? What is their facial expression? Are they getting passive aggressive? Are they getting cynical when they say certain things? Because all these are clues that you cannot get if you keep running your mouth as quick as they close theirs. It's okay to have silence. Me and a friend that lives on the lake here, he's older than I am, and we went out to Arkansas this year and snared a bunch of hogs, caught some coyotes, beaver, etc. And his wife asked him, "What all did you talk about?" And he thought of three or four different things. Well, it's okay, and I think most guys will understand this, if you're not trying to impress the other one or trying to get an advantage over the other one or whatever, it's okay for guys just to sit there and drive. Now, we're thinking about something like the road or whatever, but men that are real men don't have to talk all the time. And that's okay. But the clues that you can pick up on and the inflections in people's voices when things come up, you will never truly get what's going on if you're running your mouth all the time. The other thing that I've learned in the military is what people say and what people do and what people actually want are very different things. People have a tendency, me included, that you're worried about what someone else thinks. So it's almost like a puzzle that men need to figure out how to work through to actually figure out how they can be more service oriented to other people. And that's what a leader does. That's what a dad's supposed to do. That's what a husband's supposed to do. That's what a business owner's supposed to do. That's what a manager is supposed to do. That is what a team leader in the Army is supposed to do. But if you keep running your jaws, you don't get to figure that out. Because when you hear people say, "I can't stand it when people lie," and you watch them lie 10 times in 5 minutes, yeah, they don't really mean that. And now you've got some information set back where if they're telling you something, now you need to verify the information a whole lot more because you know that they do lie a lot, even though they say they don't. People talk about, I hate thieves, and you find out they steal stuff from work because they can justify it in their head. Well, that's something you need to keep in the back of your mind as a man, because if they'll steal from work, they will steal from about anybody, no matter how much they talk about it. Actually, the first time that I started realizing what people say and what people do are very different was I was probably in the 5th or 6th grade, and I had a psychopath for a stepdad, and he was extremely religious. And he used it as a weapon all the time against people. But the flowery speech that he would always give and the little comments were very passive aggressive. But he was a nasty person. Very nasty. And he had no empathy for pretty much anybody else, it seemed like. So I learned what he says and what he does is two different things, especially when he's around other people, which means what he's saying around other people is not true. And it allowed me to see him in a different light, even though he was an adult and I was a child. One of the biggest reasons I think men need to learn to keep their mouth shut and observe is you can follow what's going on in your surroundings as far as being a protector. You can watch people's body language. You can, if you get a weird sense of somebody that's just acting kind of weird and you notice that they're always touching their hip or the side, their side of their belt or their pocket or something like that, you can be almost guaranteed, you can ask any cop this, that someone that has a gun that's not used to carrying a gun and he's making sure it's there all the time. See, that's things you can learn through observation. But if you're not observing, how in the world are you going to see that? I just think you're a better man all the way around if you learn to talk less. Because you can read people. You can read situations. You can make judgment calls based on something besides words. Because people want to believe people's words. Just look at politicians. We're going to give you this free and that free, and we're going to do this, and we're going to fix the environment, and we're going to make the rich people pay, and all the little buzz phrases that gets people excited from politicians, and then the next 4 years, nothing changes. Then they come out with the same speech over and over and over again. That's not just politicians, that's people. People love to sound like they're so virtuous. And if you really observe, you can figure out who the people that actually have values and the ones that don't. That way you can make good decisions not to get hooked up with the ones that don't, or they're drama queens, even though they're guys, and they're just crap stirrers, and they're backbiters, and all kind of this stuff that real men should not be part of. And you should train your boys to be the same. So when you're talking to people, my advice, which doesn't matter to anybody, but my advice is to listen intently, watch people's body language, watch people's facial expressions, watch what they do with their hands, and pay more attention to that than you do the words coming out of your mouth, out of their mouth, because you really don't know if what they're saying is true or not. Because pretty much, think about this. A guy and a girl meet each other and they're dating. They're on their best behavior. Both are trying to show the other one how much they care, how much they want to be with them. They hide bad habits. They go out of their way to put on this impression of what it is. And then all of a sudden, 8 months down the road, you realize that's not exactly what this person is like once they're super comfortable or you get married. See, there's a joke in marriage. What is the best way to not get blowjobs again? Get a wedding ring. Now, when you're dating, they're very free. And they're very often. Get married and see what happens with that. See, that's an act. That's not really what they enjoy doing. And you're thinking that all of a sudden now, I get this for the rest of my life. I've talked to so many men that if they can have sex once a month, they're tickled to death. But when they're dating, it's every day, two or three times a day. Now, I understand there's a lot of chemical reactions going on in your brain, and you're super attractive, and you don't know all the negatives about something, and you're thinking both sides are perfect. I get all that. But see, there's a whole lot of acting going on, and I guarantee you the guy's not acting about sex because that's what he really enjoys. So just learn to not be so quick to respond. There's nothing wrong if someone asks you a question for you to wait 5 or 6 seconds while your brain runs through some stuff before you give an answer. But if it's a really quick answer, I promise you, you're not really listening and you're not observing. And if grown men and kids would learn this skill, because that's what it is, listening is definitely a skill. Next thing you know, I think things would go a lot smoother in life because you're not getting suckered into crazy stuff. You're not wanting to believe things that you kind of know in your gut is not what it is, but someone's like, man, honestly, that's the way it is. I'm telling you, you should never use the word I'm being honest about something. You should just be honest about something. And you'll pick this up if you start listening. Because the people that screw you over kind of all talk the same way. Fast, rebuttals really quick. They don't care what you think. They look at you like a prey animal that they're trying to get in the sights and be able to pull the trigger. Because they want something out of you. But if you're observing, you're going to notice all that. And you got to have the courage when they put pressure on you that you go, no, not interested. Come on, man, it's like just a cup of coffee a day and all these crazy things that people say. Learn to keep your mouth shut. Because like that old man said, you'll know everything that you know and you'll know everything that they know. And when that conversation's done, they only know what they know. That's how real men become actually pretty smart over the years, is they learn to keep their mouth shut. The other thing I want to talk to on the Man Strong today, guys, for you guys that's getting up in age, which I know the demographics that listen to this, and that's most of us. I talked last time about not being afraid of lifting heavy weights. You're not made out of glass. You're not going to break. But I want to talk to something today that is not sexy, like trying to bench press 405, box squat 400, or deadlift 600, or whatever it is. This is not near as sexy sounding to a guy. But have you ever noticed, going back to observing, like one of the reasons that I was okay to get out of the military when I did is because everybody that was 35 looked 65. And when I found out they were 35, I was horrified. Because that would have been me at 35, looking like I was 65. Because you just beat your body to death doing what we were doing. See, that was an observation. No one told you that. Everybody's saying they still love it, but the damage is done. But when you observe, what is one, and I'm going to say this is a skill, I'm not sure it is, but it's an attribute of being able to get through life more functional and easier. And one thing that older guys don't do, they may go in and try to crush a bench press, but have them bend over and tie their shoes standing up and watch them almost fall flat on their face. You know what I'm talking about. Or if they have to lean over to do something, their balance is so out of whack, they can't. And as you get older, because you don't train that part of your fitness, I guess you would call it, it gets worse and worse and worse. That's why when you see people that are even in their 50s and 60s, they're always putting their hands on everything. They're walking around, but they have no balance. If the ground is not perfectly level, they're stumbling. If they got to step up on something, they're all over the place. And see, that's part of life. Doing that stuff is part of life. Just going down to the boat ramp, our boathouse. We've got these rocks that were here when we bought the property that you step on rock to rock to rock. And I've had a lot of people that are older than me go down there, and you can watch them. It's like they're going through a minefield. Because if they don't, if anything gets out of whack, they're hitting the ground. And they've learned that they have no balance, so they treat themselves like there is no balance. And just like strength, that attribute gets worse and worse and worse. So what can, as men, do for balance? Well, here's something just to see what your balance is like. Why don't you just stand up and pick one foot off the ground 6 inches and see if you can even do it. Can you do it for 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds? I think most of y'all are going to be highly surprised at how bad that is. Just pick it up to the front, bend your knee up to 90 degrees and see if you can sit there just for 15 seconds. And what you're going to see is you're like a sailboat on big waves getting tossed about. Now, when you're a kid, you could have done that all day long. See, this is not an age thing. This is you don't use it, you lose it thing. There is a drill that I do twice a week that sounds really stupid that I saw on social media that actually is very handy. I take small pieces of tape in my shop and I make a circle that's about 3.5 feet around, and I put 1 foot in the middle of the circle and I will touch every one of those pieces of tape. So the ones that are right beside you on the side, like if you're on your left foot and you start at 9 o'clock, or 3 o'clock with your right foot, it's really close, it's not hard. But when you start moving that behind you and actually to the left side, it's not that easy. It's very simple, but if you've lost your balance, it's not going to be easy to do. And you'll have to start by putting your hand on something to keep some balance. Eventually, you'll be able to do half of it without touching anything, and eventually you'll be able to do all of it without touching anything. So what does this mean? So when you step on a pine cone, you're not falling down and taking a chance on breaking something. You got balance, you can adjust. Without balance, you can't adjust, and you're either going to pull something or you're going to fall. See, that's a very simple thing. Learn how to stand on each leg without holding on to anything. The other one is, put that tape, just little sections around, little 2-inch sections around in a circle about 3.5 feet, and practice moving. How hard is that? You'll find out if you're like most people, before you start doing it, it's very hard. The other thing that I think helps with balance for me personally that made a huge difference is I do walking lunges. I don't use weight. I got plenty of weight as it is. And a walking lunge, guys, if you don't know what that is, it's super simple. You take a step out, kind of exaggerated, and you bend your front knee and you let your back knee come down and either almost touch or touch the ground. Then you push off with the leg that's in front. Then you take a step and you do it on the other side. Now, if you haven't been doing anything except sitting at a computer or in a factory or something like that, you're going to find out that you're going to be all over the place. And yes, you probably will fall. But after 2 or 3 sessions of doing this, watch the difference in your own balance. Just like if you just once a day for 30 seconds, pick up 1 foot and balance yourself. And you can make it harder. You put your arms out to the side with 1 foot, one arm out to the side, and all those little muscles, all those little tendons, little muscles that keep everything locked up the way it's supposed to, they get stronger and your balance gets better. See, but when you ignore it, all those little muscles, I'm not talking about your quads or your hamstrings. I'm talking about all those little ones, your knees, your ankles, your feet, all that. When you don't do stuff like that, which you could do as a kid, no problem, they get so weak that they can't balance you. All they need is a little bit of help. Train them a little bit. It'll make a world of difference. Now, I have taken yoga in the past. Me and my wife used to, when I lived in Dunlap, she was going to yoga, and I about fell 5 or 6 times in 1 week going down a bank trapping beaver. And I'm like, my balance is crap. Well, part of it was I was so big on the top side and so little on the bottom side that it was, you know, like I had a rucksack on all the time. So I went to yoga. Scenery of the other girls in the yoga pants, really nice. So that was helpful. But what I learned is most of those poses I could not do when I first started. I could move a bunch of weight, but I couldn't control my own body. Over time, that became easier and easier and easier and easier. I'm not saying you have to go take yoga, but if you're a male and your balance is really out of whack and you can put your ego aside because you know your buddies are going to make fun of you for doing yoga, go to yoga once or twice a week. Just a beginner's class. It will be so humbling to a grown man. Because we don't use those anymore. So not only is strength important, balance is important. Because in life, not everything is perfectly flat, perfectly clean, perfectly dry. When you're just doing everyday tasks. It's not. But what you find is people get older and they don't work on their balance. They preclude anything that's not perfectly flat, perfectly level, and perfectly dry. Because they've been hit the ground several times. And it wasn't fun. And a lot of people break stuff. And that's definitely not fun. So if you're getting older, not only, and I think this is part of old man conjugate, not only is getting stronger important, but be able to have enough balance to be able to use that strength without getting hurt. See, that's so basic. But most guys, because of ego alone, will fight doing something like this because it's not showing power. But you know who has tremendous amount of balance? Basketball players, football players, rugby players, soccer players, athletic people do. And athletic people, normally it takes a lot to hurt them. Because their balance is where it is, their strength is where it should be or close. They're used to moving. They're used to going in different directions besides just straight. They can move backwards, sideways, 45 degree angles. They can do all that. All that takes balance. And even athletes, after they get out of any type of sport, they just ignore it. And then all of a sudden they look up one day and they realize, everywhere I go, I'm touching stuff, so I've got like a third leg to support my own self. But what happens when you don't have something to grab a hold of? Gravity will take over. And one of the leading causes of death as you get older is falling. It's actually higher than heart attacks and cancer and everything else. And what is the cause of that? Lack of strength and lack of balance. So why wouldn't a rational, logical person take a few minutes a day, or a few minutes every other day, or, you know, three times a week, and just do that. I don't know. People don't. Like, I can tell you, when I use my wheelbarrow with weights on the driveway, it's very different than when I do it in the yard, where it's not perfectly leveled. You got little holes and little hills and slopes and everything like that. The amount of energy to push a heavy wheelbarrow like I do for exercise, it's so different on concrete and grass. If you're gonna go walking, which I suggest that you do, try to find a place that you can get off of a walking track and walk where not everything is perfectly level, flat, straight, everything. So, like, one of the very simple things that I've done, I've started walking 30 minutes a day. That became very easy after a while, so I bumped it up to an hour, still on the road, but where we live, there's nothing flat, so you're either going up or down. And then I had to go and mark some lines on an investment property we got, and it was very steep, and I was sore for days, and I bet I only walked 300 yards. But nothing was level, nothing was flat. And I'm talking over 45 degree angle in some places, and just trying to keep yourself upright. It was crazy how sore I got. So what I do now is I'll walk 30 minutes on the road, and then I'll head off into the woods, because there's some trails around here, and that may not be as easy for everybody. And I will walk through the woods where you've got to, you know, go over limbs and logs and acorns and roots and holes and high places, and then this trail goes into an old road which is all ate up with erosion, so it's you're constantly having to do balance. I go up this great big hill, down the back side of the hill, and then that there's a road that's all washed out that comes out to the main road, and that still gives me about an hour of walking. Now, personally, I don't want to do more than an hour because I'm trying to build muscle. I'm not trying to be an endurance athlete. But I've added the wood section simply for balance. Because when you walk the trails that I'm talking about, you've got to pay attention and you're constantly adjusting, because everything's askew. That's not hard to do. It's actually pretty simple to do. And you get to see some pretty cool stuff in the woods. I see deer and turkey and all kinds of birds. I found wet weather springs. I found where people have been camping before. I found an actual homeless camp. So there's a lot of stuff, and it's to me, it's just more interesting, and it's not so brain dead as just walking on a track or a road. But the most important part of the whole exercise of going through old roads and in the woods like that is I've got to constantly work on balance every day that I do it. See, I'm not talking about you've got to be a master yoga instructor. You just need to train your balance so you can do things. That's why people that don't, when they pull out a deer up a hill or down a hill or through the woods, and they're falling all the time, they're really sore for days, stuff like that, they're using muscles they haven't used probably since they played sports in high school. But I'd rather pull out a deer and not wreck myself, because it's more enjoyable and it makes me more functional. And it makes where I can do things, it's just simpler. And that's what I'm striving for. I want to, as I age, do everything that I can to be the most functional human being at whatever age. Because through observation, I see people that don't train any of that, and they are getting pretty close to glass. And anything that goes wrong usually is really wrong. And it's all because of a choice they make every day, every week, every month, every year. It's no one's fault that they're 60, but it is their fault if they can't walk on an uneven ground. That's their fault. Unless there's some type of crazy vertigo, medical something to do. There's always exceptions, but for the majority, it's because either consciously or unconsciously, they've let themselves go to shit. So they have no choice but to stay in perfect environments. And what kind of life is that? I mean, being on a boat as much as we are, that's helped my balance tremendously. This year, I'm pretty sure my meniscus is strong enough where I tore it because I was doing too much weight on a slope doing farmer's carries. That one of my goals this summer is to be able to, we bought a paddleboard, and I'm going to practice on that paddleboard 2 or 3 times a week once the water warms up because it's pure balance. That's the only reason I'm doing it. I don't plan on taking that thing far. I don't plan on becoming a professional paddleboarder. I don't plan on fishing off the dang thing. I'm just going to get on there for 15 or 20 minutes because every single hair that moves is going to cause that board to move too. And you've got to use your ankles and your feet and your hips and your knees and your core just to stay on the board. Young people have no problems with paddle boards. They just hop on them the first time and take off. As you get older, that's not the case. Not because it should be the case. That's the case because we just let ourselves fall apart. So what camp are you going to be in? Functional or non-functional? You need to make that decision. And for your own sake, I hope you make the right one, and I'll talk to y'all next week.